started studying English when I was like 5 or 6 years old in first grade. I liked it very much. And the very following summer, when we were on vacation in Crete, where my mother's from, the city of Rethymnon, there was that German lady married to a Greek, and she was teaching German. So my parents asked me, would you like to learn some German after doing English? I said, yes, why not? I mean, I jumped at the opportunity. I liked it very much. So I started doing German at the age of 6 or 7, I would say, during my vacation in Crete. And I continued when we went back to Athens at the Goethe Institute in Athens. So I liked it very much. One language would follow the other. It came so naturally without programming it. Like Italian came next. I enjoyed it. You know, I would never say no. My parents would always help me. And whenever there was an opportunity for me as a kid already at elementary school, whenever I had the opportunity to study a language, I would jump at it. Like I said, I started with English. I loved it. Then I went on with German. And then I started teaching myself Italian because there was a rumor at my school that they would teach us Italian the following year, a rumor that never materialized. And I wanted to shine, so I started teaching myself Italian during our holidays. I enjoyed it so much. And then so on and so forth.
Vajon hány nyelvet beszél ma?
Well, it's very difficult for me to list all the languages I've studied because, you know, there are kind of many. And it would be like telling the story of my life. Each and every language I studied had to do with a particular stage in my life, my travels, my personal growth. But let me say in a nutshell that I've studied most European languages. It's easier for me to say which ones I do not speak. I do not speak Albanian, which is top on my list to study next. I don't speak Estonian and Gaelic Irish. In my work, I translate from almost all the other languages, that is, most Slavic languages like Russian, Polish, Czech, Bulgarian, Serbian, Croatian, Germanic languages like the Scandinavian languages, plus Dutch, German, Romance languages like Portuguese, Spanish, Romanian, Italian, French, Hungarian, which does not belong to any category. Plus, I've studied various Asian languages. Hindi and Urdu is an important language that I studied. Arabic, Hebrew. I studied Turkish. Persian also played a very important role in my personal growth, in my personal life. And also the languages of East Asia, Japanese, but especially Chinese. I've spent over a year and a half studying Chinese in China. Well, I've been studying Chinese for well over a quarter of a century, half of my life. Maybe I've forgotten some other languages, but another important category, apart from those 32 languages I studied, are dead languages. Because what I really studied, my area of study is Indo-European historical comparative linguistics, which means the study of ancient languages, Indo-European languages, and how they relate to each other. That is ancient Greek, Latin, Hittite, or the whole category of Anatolian languages spoken in present-day Turkey. Ancient European languages such as Old Church Slavic, ancient Germanic languages such as Gothic. Of course, Sanskrit is a language that inspired me a lot, the ancient language of India. The ancient Iranian languages such as Parthian, Old Persian, Avestan, that is the language of Prophet Zarathustra, and many others. So modern and ancient languages is really what I've been studying all my life.
Mennyi idő alatt tanul egy nyelvet?
It depends on your personal time, on the energy, on the amount of energy and time you are willing to invest in studying a language, in learning it, and studying it in a serious way. But it also depends on the language itself. I mean, I mentioned before that I've been studying Chinese for over a quarter of a century, including over a year in China and Taiwan, where I studied it seriously. And still, I read Chinese literature, and I have words I have to look up all the time. Why is that? Because Chinese is extremely different from Western languages. if you want to study Italian or let's say Spanish, you already have 60% of the vocabulary for free. The word revolution is la rivoluzione in Italian or la revolución in Spanish. It's not a big deal. If you want to learn it in Chinese, good luck to you. It's coming, or it's devrim in Turkish. It's afeura in Arabic. You have to learn all that vocabulary, grammar, expressions anew, as if, from square one, practically. Whereas if you are a Korean or a Japanese person studying Chinese, then the Chinese language would be much easier to you than German or Italian or French. Why? Because Korean already has 40% of its vocabulary has been borrowed from Chinese. Or if you're Pakistani speaking Urdu and studying, or if you're a Persian studying Arabic, you already have vast numbers of words that you already know without ever having studied the language, Arabic that is. So I would say it depends on your commitment, and it also depends on the language. If an English speaker decides to learn a European language, they can study it for less than 6 months and be fluent in it. You can go on vacation to Italy or Portugal and speak with people after studying it for less than, seriously of course, for less than half a year. But if we want to travel to China or Japan or, I don't know, or India, then good luck to you. You really have to invest time and energy, and you have to study hard the way I studied Japanese in 2016. But it pays to do so. Only don't think that the language will learn itself. You have to really sweat on it. You have to study and invest time, energy, and be serious about that. Even if you study a language that's comparatively easy, even if you study Italian or French or Spanish or Portuguese, you have to be serious about learning a language, although sometimes the language helps you if it's close to a language that you are already familiar with.
Melyik a kedvenc nyelv?
This is a tough question. It's like asking a parent which one of their children they prefer. Or actually asking, it's like asking a lover which one of their lovers they love most. I think every language I studied was a love story, a love affair, and I cherish them all. Each and every love affair I had with a language or with a human being, of course, has enriched me very much, and I cannot really put my finger on a particular language, but I do like challenges in my life. This is why I would say that there are no difficult or easy languages. There are languages that are different from the one or the ones you already know. That's why I would say that there are languages that really made me sweat, like Chinese or Japanese or Arabic or Turkish. And I cherish all the effort I've made in learning them. So I cannot really say that I love this language or the other more, but I cherish the effort I've made to learn Chinese. Sometimes I open my Chinese dictionaries or my Russian dictionaries or my Hebrew dictionaries, and they are full of notes, full of notes. I write on my dictionaries. I write comments on them, and I look at them. It's like love letters to a lover, and I see my younger self studying Russian or Swedish or Polish and making notes on my dictionaries, and then I say, I put on that huge effort in learning this language. I love this language. Like I said, it's a love affair, and I cherish them all.
Mely nyelvek ismerete segített neki a legtöbbet karrierje során?
Languages is an extremely important part of my day-to-day life, of my work. I work for the European institutions, for the European Commission, and I'm an ardent Europeanist. I believe in the European project, in our united homeland, Europe. So I translate all kinds of EU texts during my day-to-day routine. I do Polish, I do Romanian documents, I do Czech, Hungarian, Croatian, you name it, Bulgarian, Spanish, English, German, and so on. And I feel I do my small contribution to that European project, which I really believe in. Had I not learned all those languages, I would be much poorer, even in the financial sense, but I mean spiritually, those languages afforded me the opportunity to get an insight into the daily lives of millions of Poles, Russians, Turks, Spaniards, Latin Americans, Christians, Muslims, atheists, Jews, you name it, Hindus. And I feel that they have enriched me enormously. I translate EU texts every day at work. Some of them are boring, some of them are more interesting, but they are all very useful for European citizens. I feel proud, let me tell you, that I feel proud for contributing to that European project, building bridges. As a translator, I build bridges. This is my job. Between European citizens, between Germans and Greeks, between Hungarians and Greeks, between Bulgarians and Greeks, and so on and so forth. This is my job, to build bridges, to let messages from a Bulgarian or a German or a Dutch or a Hungarian citizen to take that message and convey it into Greek so that my father or my mother or my aunt in Greece or a bureaucrat in some Greek ministry or a lawyer will be able to use the EU legislation in their own language. They do not have to learn Hungarian or Czech or Polish or Romanian. This is what I do, and I really feel proud for it. And I feel grateful to all these languages that each and every one of them enriched me enormously, and they opened my horizons, and honestly, they made me a better person.